Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 this morning. And we are continuing through our study of through the Bible. And up to this point, of course, we've seen creation. And last week we saw the creation of man. So we've gone now past the creation, and now this morning we're going to get into the fall of man, but also the first promise that God would give of a Savior, the first promise that God would give of the coming Messiah. And so there on your paper, we see under our first point, we see the temptation of man to start off this morning. Who'd like to read there Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5? Miss Martha, go ahead.
Genesis 3, 1 to 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall see, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Martha. And so we see here that Satan now comes along, and we see here that man is tempted. And we see the first way that Satan does this is he first questions God's word. He then contradicts God's word. And then Satan himself actually has, I guess the right word would be the audacity, to then accuse God. And, you know, the same thing happens even today. You know, especially in the Christian life, you know something that you know for sure after reading your Bible, and you become set in it, you become firm in it, and, you know, nobody's able to shake it from you. And then Satan has a good habit, doesn't he, of maybe sending something our way or sending somebody our way and saying something that, you know, doesn't necessarily get you to stop believing what you know to be true, but just kind of plants a seed to where you then start, you know, down, you know, this rabbit hole, and then down this rabbit hole, and then, you know, before you know it, you know, you're not necessarily questioning God or contradicting God or accusing God, but Satan has, you know, brought something or somebody in, and now they've, you know, have done exactly what Satan has done. They've questioned God's word. They've contradicted God. They've accused God. And their ultimate plan is to get us to do the same. And if they can shake our belief, our trust, our foundation in the Bible, well, then everything else kind of falters away. Everything else kind of falls away. And so we see the temptation here, and Satan comes and he questions God's word. He contradicts, he accuses God. But then, you know, if it would have just stopped there, that would have been great, because we know that even today we're all tempted, aren't we? You know, Satan gets in our, you know, hearts, our minds, whatever the case may be. And, you know, he tempts us to something. It doesn't even necessarily have to be, you know, something necessarily sinful, you know, that he tempts us with. You know, we think of, you know, maybe you're trying to eat good, right? You know, you're what's that?
Shamrock,
how many have you had since they brought those back?
Two.
Two? Okay, then that's not bad.
In 2 days.
Well, it's still not too bad. I mean, they've been back since March. Oh, wait.
Since February.
Since February. They've been back since February. So, I mean, what is this, the 3rd of March? I mean, come on. Two in 2 days? I mean, that's all right. You know, I
the small ones?
Oh, no.
Why? You go big or go home.
So, did you share? Did Katie get her own?
Share one.
Huh? Huh?
She's gotten one.
Okay.
Two. I've gotten two.
Oh, sorry.
Ooh. Oh, well. You know, but...
Once I found out that he had one without me.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. And, well, you know, that's like here last week. We, you know, I think it was you guys or somebody got us on to the Bradley's farm. Yeah. How many have ever had the Bradley's milk? Mm. Right? Yeah, that's some good stuff.
Their coffee milk is really good.
and so I, last week I had two in 2 days. And went out to, first we went over to Dunkin' Donuts. We got a Boston cream and a jelly donut. And then we went over to Patty Mac's and we got chocolate milk, coffee milk. And I mean, most of you know I swear by Wawa chocolate milk. This stuff, it's good. It's good. But you know, so the temptation doesn't have to be anything sinful. The temptation can be, you know, you're trying to eat right, you know, lose weight. Maybe you're trying to, you know, maybe you're trying to watch less TV. Maybe you're trying to, I don't know, maybe you're trying to save money and not spend recklessly necessarily. Or, you know, our big thing last year was, you know, Funko Pops. And this year, we have made the resolution to stick to one Funko Pop a month.
We haven't made it yet.
Are you covered until December yet, though?
We're not.
Okay.
We're not. I think we bought two in January, and...
I think that's more than that.
And two in March, in February. But we haven't bought any in February yet, and there have been a lot, or March here, and there have been a lot that have come out in March that every day I check the Funko website, something new has dropped. And they off. How many have ever heard of Afterpay?
Oh, yeah.
And they all, well, Afterpay is basically you buy what you want now, and you pay over 4 weeks.
With no interest.
With no interest. And, boy, I'll tell you, that's awfully tempting.
Dangerous.
It's dangerous, too, but it's awfully tempting. And, but, you know, I made a right decision because Tuesday we're taking our car over to Brother Kenny's shop there, and Wednesday night, and I don't know what it is with Mandy and bumpers.
Will you stop it?
I don't know what it is.
I was inside working.
I don't care. You were in control of the car. It was your responsibility, but someone over top, she was inside working, and, well, somebody swiped the side of our car and then the back of our car. And I mean, you like the bumper, like it's not hanging off.
It's just the wheel well.
It's just the wheel well that you can see it's detached from the car, and you can see the screw hanging out. So I called over to Kenny's shop the other day and made the appointment for Tuesday. And well, we need an oil change anyway, and our tires rotated. And I think last time we had it in, We need like a passenger tire, and now our TPMS lights are going, and so we've got about $2,000 for all this work that needs to be done. And so I told the guy I spoke to on the phone, I said, well, I can't remember all that needs to be done, but let's give it a once over, and then we'll go in order of importance on what to fix first, and then, you know, what can wait. And but you know, temptations, you know. Okay, do I buy Funko Pops, or do I save the money for the car? Right, and so you know, responsible decisions. But we can see where there can be temptations that aren't necessarily sin, and we have to guard against that, and we have to guard against the temptations that are sin as well. But then number two this morning, we see the transgression. We see the transgression. Who'd like to read there? Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Dave, go ahead.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree could be desired to make one wise, she took off the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
All right, and so now we see here that Adam and Eve, they have now allowed the temptation. They have now, we see they have given in to the temptation, and now the temptation becomes the transgression. And we see that it happens in two ways. Number one, we see it's a process. So the first thing did was Eve looked. She you know, the Satan came and said, you know, did God really say this? You know, God knows that if you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open, you'll be as gods, you'll know good and evil, so on and so forth. And so then we see in verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. So Eve looked at it. And not only did she look at it, she was probably, you know, longing for it. You know, like, I long for that Funko Pop I've been looking at on the website. And I'm still deciding whether I'm going to pull the trigger. But, you know, again, car. And then, you know, next week, one of the video games I want comes out.
My wife's birthday is this week.
Yeah, the second most important birthday of the year.
That's right. That's right. Well, you're getting the car fixed for your birthday. That's your gift. But so Eve looked at it, and then, you know, the longer you look at something, what happens? You start to long for it, don't you? You almost get like what is it? Pavlov's syndrome. You know, like, you ever see a dog, you know, that they're foaming at the mouth or drooling for that treat that you're teasing them with.
That sounds like rabies.
Well, yeah, that too. But they're longing for it, right? And so that's what Eve was doing here. She was looking at it, and then she was longing for it. And then after she looked at it, she longed for it. What did she do next? She took it. And then not only did she take it, but she then shared it. Now, if you know anything about your Bible, you know in the New Testament, the Bible says that whereby sin entered into the world by one man. So the Bible places the responsibility on the fall of man on Adam's shoulders, even though it was Eve who took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Why is that? Anybody have an idea? Kenny?
Because the man is the head of the household.
Exactly. Exactly. So even though Eve was the first one to, you know, technically sin, when Eve went to Adam and tried to offer him, he should have shut it down right there and said, no, you know, God told us not to. But instead, what did Adam do? He partook of it as well. And Eve shared with him. And then we see the result. They had an awareness of sin. They had now shame for their sin. And then they tried to do what? They tried to cover that sin. And we're the same way. We know what sin is. And, you know, that sin, it brings shame. And then we try and cover that sin. We see thirdly, we see now the temptation has happened. The transgression has happened. And now we see the conviction. The conviction. Who'd like to read there? Verses 8 through 13. Verses 8 through 13. Katie, go ahead.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
All right, so now, you know, I just find it interesting. We see here man first indicts himself. They basically tell on themselves, but then they do a very human thing, don't they? They start to pass the blame. God asks Adam, what happened here? What did you do? And Adam says, well, it wasn't me. It was that woman you gave me. That she caused me to eat of that tree. And then God goes to Eve and says, well, Eve, what happened? And she says, well, that little serpent down there, that serpent, you know, caused me to sin and to disobey you. And so instead of just taking responsibility, they pass the blame. You know, not much has changed today because we do the same thing, don't we? You know, instead of taking responsibility, we pass the blame. We try and blame somebody else. And so we see now the temptation, the transgression, the conviction. And now fourthly this morning, we see the curse. We see the curse. Who'd like to read there? Verses 14 through 19. Verses 14 through 19. Miss Martha, go ahead.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life.
All right.
Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and that unto dust shalt thou return.
All right, thank you there, Miss Martha. So now we see that there now has to be a penalty. There has to be a consequence for Adam and Eve's transgression. There has to be a penalty paid for their sin that comes here in the form of a curse. Verses 14 and 15, we see God curses the serpent. And so now, you know, our modern day snake, you know, how the snake is now, you know, always slithering around, it's on its belly. Well, that's a direct result of the serpent here in the garden tempting Adam and Eve, Satan using the vessel of the serpent in order to come and tempt Adam and Eve. And so we see, you know, because if you do your research into it, you know, at one time, snakes, you know, possibly had legs. I mean, if you don't like snakes already, could you imagine if they had legs where they could run after you? I mean, you talk about scary. And so this was one of their punishments. Now God curses the serpent. And then in verse 16, God curses the woman. And, you know, and it's interesting. It says here, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. You know, now today we make much, and rightly so, of, you know, a woman bringing a new baby into the world. But if you've ever been present for a birth or know of, you know, a lady that's given a birth, and, you know, sometimes the stories they tell in the delivery room, and old Joe and I were here yesterday and we were talking, and he was saying how, how he didn't want to be in the delivery room, but you know, they kind of forced him back there, and it was a funny account, because he said while I was in there, they had an extra bed in the room, and so he asked the nurse if he could just have that extra bed. And, you know, meanwhile, Sue's over here, you know, giving birth and what have you. But you know, and they tell of the pain and how long it takes and all the rest. Well, that's what this is. And that's what we see here in verse 16. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And so we see he curses the woman. And then in verses 17 through 19, we see, of course, he curses the man. And then fifthly and finally there on your page, we see, though, he doesn't just leave it at the penalty. He just doesn't leave it at the consequence. He just doesn't leave it at the curse. he leaves us and Adam and Eve with some hope. Notice there, if you would, verses 20 through 24. The Bible says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." And so, in verse 20 here, we see that Adam, he looks towards the future. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And then in verse 21, we see God provides for Adam and Eve redemption in the form of coats of skins and clothing. So that covers them of their nakedness. It covers their sin. This is the first promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come as the Savior of man, who would come as the Messiah for all mankind. And then we see there, verses 22 through 24, we see God moves man forward. And the hope there and the encouragement there is simple. And that is, even though you might give in to temptation, even though you might sin, even though you might falter, even though you might fail, you don't have to stay in that temptation. You don't have to stay in that sin. You don't have to stay in that transgression. You don't have to stay dealing with the consequences of those sins if you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so, as we think this morning about the fall of man here, again, we see Satan's first communication with man was to attack God's word. He did that by, number one, he questioned God's word in verse 1. He said, "Hath God said?" He comes along and he puts into doubt Adam and Eve's mind what God really said. And then in verse 1, he actually misquotes God's word. Notice there again what he says there. He says, "Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." That's not what God said. That's not what God told Adam and Eve. Go back to chapter 2. And notice there, verses 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And so we see here Satan comes along and he says and misquotes God's word by saying, well, did God really say you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's not what God said. God said they could eat of every tree except the one in the middle. Then we see he contradicts God's word in verse 4 by saying, "Ye shall not surely die." And so, you know, Satan's tactics against man, they were effective from the very first day. They were effective from the start. Every wise believer will expect Satan to use and should expect Satan to use the very same tactics today to question or to cause us to question the accuracy, to cause us to question the authority, the effectiveness of God's word. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us, you know, because, you know, all of us here, at least we should be able to say that everybody here, we know Christ is our Savior. We know we're going to heaven. And so Satan has lost out on you in that regard. So what's his next best move? To get you then to start to question the Bible, to get you to question the word of God. And that's what he wants to do. And so then we see, secondly, Eve could not have been tempted by the tree if she had not been near the tree. Notice there, if you would, chapter 3 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And so we see here Eve followed what has become really a very common path to sin. What has become and is a very common path to giving in to the temptation, giving in to the transgression. And she looked. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. And so as she was looking, she began to lust for the tree. She said it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. And then she gave into that. She took. And, you know, the truth is this morning, when you hang around those things that you know are associated with sin, then, you know, we're just one step away from going down that same road, from going down that same path. And so, you know, we need to be very careful what and who, you know, we hang with and hang by, that we don't allow them to drag us back into the life that God has saved us from. And so don't get near the tree. Don't admire the tree. Don't look at the tree. You know, don't look at the Funko Pop. You know, don't look at the Bradley's Milk. Don't look at the Shamrock Shake. You know, whatever the case may be. Now, of course, we know those things aren't sinful. Funko Pops, milk, shakes, you know, they're not sinful things, right? But, you know, the things that are sin, don't look at them. Don't get near them. Stay away from them. And so then we see, thirdly, we see that before sin, God's voice meant fellowship. That's why God created mankind. That's why God created Adam and Eve, because he desired that fellowship with man. But then after sin, it meant to hide. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Now, can you just imagine that? That at first, as they were created, God, his voice meant that, it meant fellowship. It meant, I mean, could you just imagine? And listen, we know we can go to the Lord in prayer, right? We know that. But could you imagine having God physically present there with you, like we're here physically present? Now, we know the Bible says where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. And, you know, we know God is here with us this morning. But I can't, you know, ask God a direct question like I can ask Dave a direct question. And I asked Dave, "Well, Dave, how do you feel about starting at Tops?" Right? And Dave can give me an answer on how he feels about starting at Tops here in the next week or so. And we can have that conversation. Now, listen, there are questions I have for God that, you know, all I can do is search the Bible and, you know, try and find them, or you know, as I'm praying, say, "Lord, give me wisdom, give me insight, open my eyes to this, show me this if it be your will," whatever the case may be. And there are some things we won't have an answer for until we get to heaven. But, I mean, could you imagine? Adam and Eve had access to God right there. And they blew it. They blew it. You know, you ever see the meme? You had one job. And they blew it. And now, instead of it being, you know, instead of when they hear God's voice, it means, oh, we get the fellowship with God. No, now they, oh no, we better hide. And you know, the sad truth is this morning, sin separates us from God. And it makes us view God in a different light. Sin causes us to see our loving God as the enemy. Sin causes us to see God as someone to be avoided, as someone to stay away from. And, you know, that's why when people fall into sin, what's one of the first things that happens? They get out of church. They stop coming to church. Why? Because they know church is a place that they're going to be confronted with their sin. They're going to be confronted with the Bible. They're going to be confronted with things that God says. And, you know, the truth is, when we're not living right and we're not doing what we're supposed to do, you know, we could care less what God says. We could care less what the Bible says, because, you know what? We're human. We're sinful. We're stubborn. And we want to do things our way. And, you know, not much has changed since Adam and Eve's day. And sin is a blinder. It's a deceiver. Sin is a complicator. You know, if you want to keep a simple, sincere, sweet relationship with God at all times, then avoid sin. At all costs, at all times, avoid sin, and your relationship with God will be simple, it'll be sweet, it'll be sincere, it'll be what God wants it to be. You'll always have that fellowship. But now listen, I'm acutely aware that, guess what? Even though we're saved, We're still sinners. And we're still going to sin. We're still going to falter. We're still going to slip up. We're still going to mess up. But guess what? That's why 1 John 1:9 is there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So when we do sin, and we will still sin, and we still will mess up, guess what? We can still go to God and say, God, you know, it's like when you go to your spouse, right? You know, I messed up again this week. I started work on the back bumper this week, but you know, same thing's true with God, right? You know, God, yeah, it's Robert again. Yeah, you know that thing I said I wouldn't do last week? Yeah, well, I did it again. You know, Lord, please forgive me. And you know what? Guess what? The Bible says if we do that, he's faithful and just to forgive us. I mean, think about it. How many times will we forgive somebody? You know, the first time they did something, they asked for forgiveness. Okay, we forgive them. Second time, okay, but you know, maybe we get a little more stern and we say, okay, but don't you do that again. And then the third time comes and you're like, man, what are you doing? And then the fourth time, and you know, I mean, you think about it, what's our limit on forgiving somebody the same thing over and over and over again? We have a pretty short tolerance, don't we, on forgiving people for the same thing over and over and over again. Listen, I'm thankful God's not like that. You know, three strikes and you're out type of thing. He's not like that. But we need to try and avoid sin at all costs. And then number four, we see God immediately promised hope. Verse 15. The Bible says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This here is God's first promise to man that sin would someday be defeated. You see, before man ever sinned, God had provided the solution. Because God knew man was going to sin. Go over, if you would. You're there in Genesis. Now go all the way to the last book of your Bibles, Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. That door, my soul. Revelation chapter 13. And notice there, if you would, verse number 8. The Bible says that all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The important part there is that last part. From the foundation of the world. So from the very beginning, as God was creating the heavens and the earth, as he was creating man, God in his omniscience, his all-knowing self, he knew man was going to sin. He knew man was going to fall there in the garden. And he provided the solution in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then fifthly and finally, we see that God made a way for man to be forgiven. He made a way for man to be forgiven. Notice there, chapter 3, and again, verse 21. The Bible says, unto Adam, also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now go back up to verse 7. The Bible says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And so we see here that the man-made covering did not work. And the truth is this morning, the man-made system of religion out there that says do A, B, and C in order to get to heaven, in order to get right with God, the man-made way does not work. And Adam and Eve, they knew this because they hid even though they were covered. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And so now here we see, after God had dealt with their sin, he made a covering for them in verse 21. And this covering is the second promise of hope. It pointed to Christ's sacrifice Because you notice there, it said that he made coats of skins. We see here it was because blood was shed in order for those sins or those skins to be provided for the covering of sin. So even all the way back here in Genesis, there was always the need for the shedding of blood for the remission, the forgiveness of sins. And that would point us to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, yes, this morning man fell, but they didn't have to stay falling because of the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ provided in himself and in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Any questions about the fall of man this morning? All right. If not, Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?